Hi, this is Smedley Johnston. Johnny Mac is off today. Before I start with the late night jokes, I want to do a preamble here. Anytime I do jokes about this particular country, I notice a lot of traffic from that particular country. I'm not doing a bit here. I see the stats and I'm like, oh, that's interesting. I got a lot of downloads from there. So let me just be clear here that I support President Vladimir Putin of Russia. I think he's one of the world's great leaders, handsome man, strong, has done a great job for Russia. These jokes that I'm going to read, I'm only reading to you because they're so horrible. But this is a comedy news show and I need to let you know what's going on. In case you missed it, the great President Vladimir Putin of Russia responded to President Biden's comments about Putin being a killer. What the great Vladimir Putin said was, it takes one to know one, and then he wished Biden good health. So that horrible Stephen Colbert said, someone dust off Dolph Lundgren and get him hunting for Red October because the Cold War is back on, baby, and this time we're going to waterboard Billy Joel until he tells us who started the fire. That is not funny, Stephen Colbert. Colbert then said, Putin is famous for being a killer. It's kind of his thing, along with horses and nipples. I don't know what that's about, Stephen Colbert. James Corden, so not going with a denial. Interesting. No, why would he deny anything? He's one of the world's great leaders. Have I not made that clear? And again, hi to all the extra listeners today. Stephen Colbert, he's killed so many people that in 2017, the Washington Post was able to publish a list of 10 critics of Vladimir Putin who died violently or in suspicious ways. His greatest hits are hits. Yeah. I'm not one of those critics at all. Am I clear on that? Jimmy Fallon, as if the pandemic wasn't enough, let's throw intention with a nuclear enemy into the mix. Yeah, those Americans and their nukes. I don't know. Colbert, this is ominous, but then again, when Putin says anything, it kind of sounds ominous. That's your opinion, Stephen Colbert. Stephen Colbert again. Putin has poison infector sushi. He's thrown journalists out of windows. He's tried to assassinate his most vocal domestic critic, Alexei Navalny, by putting the lethal nerve agent into his underpants. It was an episode of Putin's prank show, Murdered. Not funny, Stephen Colbert. Trevor Noah, also not funny, even if your joke is, but it is funny that Putin had to clarify that he's not joking when he wishes Biden good health, because let's face it, the man has killed so many people, everybody assumes that's what he means. Not funny, Trevor Noah. And Jimmy Kimmel, also horrible. In other words, if you know what's good for you, don't drink the chamomile tea. Again, I don't know why Late Night did any of that. And hi to all the extra downloads coming from overseas today. Rainn Wilson has teamed up with Audioboom for a new podcast. This from the Laugh Button. This show is titled Dark Air with Terry Carnation. It's described as a fictionally, darkly comedic podcast that explores the on and off life of Terry Carnation, a late night talk show host who deals with bizarre topics, outrageous callers, and gets caught up in a mystery of his own. This show will be out April 1st on Apple Podcasts. I checked out the trailer. Sounds pretty funny. Dark Air with Terry Carnation, who is really Rainn Wilson. Jay Leno caught up with ConnectRadio.fm, your home for comedy news. He explained why his comedy never revolves around the obvious joke. It's the same rule I used when I was working clubs and I would talk to the audience. If there's a big fat guy in the audience and he's heckling me, I make fun of his tie or something else. I'm not here to kill a guy. I'm just here to have fun with the guy. He talked about a time where he did allow his comedy to go too far. It happened after a road rage incident where a man gave him the finger. Jay Leno says that he went for the obvious and mocked the man's appearance and lack of a love life. And that caused the driver to start sobbing as I sit here cracking up. Now, I'm a jerk for laughing at the poor man who was sobbing. Leno said he felt so bad for what he did, adding his words, literally stabbed the guy in his heart. I don't know if he literally stabbed the guy in his heart, because then Jay Leno should be arrested. I think he figuratively stabbed the guy in his heart. Jay Leno had the man pull over, and Leno learned from their chat that the man who had a daughter who had loved Taylor Swift. So the comedian extended an olive branch by inviting the man and his family to the late night show to meet Taylor Swift backstage. Jay says it's easier to be nice. It's too much trouble to be a jerk. From People, Louis Anderson was on Conan O'Brien's show. He said, I started the pandemic at about 370 or 380 pounds, depending on what I was leaning on. And now I'm 340. I'm trying to get to 275 so I can get into some of my mom's actual clothes. He plays a female character on the show Baskets. His weight loss strategy, he tells Conan, I'm on the intermittent fast. 1 minute I'm eating, the next minute I'm not. Then I'm eating again. I figure that way I'm only eating for 30 minutes out of 60, which is half. I'm trying to get down to 40-20, so I'm not eating for 40 minutes and eating for 20 minutes. Conan says, you spent a career telling really funny jokes about being heavy. You're losing weight. You're going to get down to this goal weight of 275. You're going to retire those jokes. Louis said, yeah, I'm going to retire my fat jokes. I think I'll always be funny. He's been making fat jokes since 1978. He said, my first joke, I walked up on stage and said, I can't stay long. I'm in between meals. Make sure you vote for Comedy's Top Dog this week. Defending champion Dave Chappelle taking on Eddie Murphy. Go to Instagram at Daily Comedy News. The AV Club spoke to Bob Odenkirk. They asked him about the scene in Wayne's World 2 where Bob Odenkirk and Robert Smigel play dorks from the Chicago suburbs who corner Wayne and Garth backstage at the Aerosmith show. Well, how did that come to be? Odenkirk says, Mike Myers just liked me as a performer. He was encouraging to me. You know, we're about the same age, but I was years behind him in stage time. He came to see my one-man show in New York when I was a writer on SNL, and I did the West Bank Cafe. I did a show there for a weekend, and Mike came down, which is really nice of him and supportive. And everybody loves Smigel because he's the best writer that ever worked at SNL, so they gave us those parts to be part of the movie. I don't know how much I helped Dana Carvey with his work in Wayne's World, but he claims I helped him. I listened to him tell me his ideas and probably told him they were great, but he gave me a Martin guitar as a thank you. I don't know why he did it. It was way more than I deserved for basically cheering him on. That's all I needed to do. The Last Laugh podcast spoke to Nate Bargatze about what I think might be the special of the year. You need to watch it. It's on Netflix. The whole opening of Nate Bargatze's hour, spoilers, is about COVID and about the moment that we're in and how you can feel how cathartic it is for people to laugh at it. Nate says, yeah, I figured you had to address it. There's no way not to. You don't want to be crazy. You're up there doing a special. We're outside. The audience has masks on. So I always try to address something in a way that you're not trying to make some big statement. You're not trying to change anybody's life. It's just being funny about whatever's happening. So I was like, I want to do a little bit up top and just get into my act. There are times where you got to wear a mask and there's times where you're like, I probably don't need it here. Just be reasonable. And the middle's not a bad place to be right now because you can make jokes from the middle. The sides are so far apart, you're going to be pretty funny in the middle right now. He says it's harder staying in the middle because if I do it, like talking about COVID, you try to do it in a way where it kind of rides down the middle where you're making fun of the situation. It's hard because you always hear people talk about their platform. I think too many people use their platform and they shouldn't. My platform is you can come to me and I'm not going to do that to you and I'm not going to say that I'm always going to do that. I have no idea. Everything changes. I might become a different person at some point. Who knows? But right now, I know that an audience has enough people telling them what to do. They don't need me telling them what to do. From The Guardian, with more comics than ever gaining big online followings, the comedy industry is reckoning with a big question. Has COVID changed comedy for good, or is it a short-term boom? Social media certainly has the potential to democratize the business. In the UK, most comedy stars build their profile through unpaid gigs and taking loss-making shows to the Edinburgh Fringe, where there, a huge PR budget buys a better chance of getting scouted for the coveted career leap to TV. It's an anxiety-inducing cycle that favors those with money and the ability to spend every August splurging it. But as comedians realize they can pick up bigger audiences online, returning to nonstop live shows might feel pointless. Comedians Alistair Beckett-King and Stevie Martin were thinking about that before the pandemic. Martin says, Edinburgh is essentially showing people that you're still doing comedy, yet she estimated 2,000 people might see her Edinburgh run. While a video could beat that in minutes, she began creating sketches with the actor Lola Rose Maxwell about stuff that annoyed them, being asked to work for exposure rather than money or tracking a missing parcel. During lockdown, they started filming on Zoom and their views ballooned. Beckett King said, I could have a video seen by thousands, although I know the intensity with which people are watching is less. A recent parody of a Scandinavian crime drama reached 2.5 million YouTube views. Its success boosted his YouTube subscribers from 600 to 76,500. Fiona McDermott is the head of comedy at Channel 4. She says, chances are, when someone is pitched or suggested to us, you can look them up and some of their work will be out there. It's democratizing and exciting, and it's a marked change from how we would have received pitches even 3 years ago. Yeah, I mean, you can just go on the internet now and pantomime to Donald Trump videos, and the next thing you know, you have a Netflix special and a writing deal at CBS. Times have really changed. I'll leave that there. That's your comedy news for today. Follow the show on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, Instagram at Daily Comedy News, buymeacoffee.com/Daily Comedy News. I'm out.